Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Our guest today is Reinhardt University Assistant Coach Tim Foster. Tim coaches the X receivers, tight ends, and Z-backs in a wing T system at Reinhardt, which led all of college football in scoring at 51.4 points per game in 2016. Coach shares some insight into the wing T system that they use and how he prepares a very diverse group of players. Coach Foster, it's great to have you here on the Coaching Coordinator Podcast.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me, man.
Coach, you are in a unique position in, you know, we talked a little bit about your role at Reinhardt University, a unique position in that you coach multiple positions within your offense. And just a little background on your offense, you guys are running the wing T. You certainly have progressed and are doing some modern things in the wing T. But with that, in a wing T system, you guys this year have 550.6 yards of total offense per game, 360 rushing yards per game, led all of NAIA, and actually had the best points per game in 51.4, and that led any division of college football this past year. So you guys did an outstanding job. But tell us about your role within the offense as a coach.
Sure. I coach tight ends here. I coach our X receiver, which is our split end, and then I also coach our Z, which is a really hybrid type of player. He's got to be kind of like a running back and a wide receiver mixed together. It's a tough position to recruit because you got to find a guy with the skill set to be able to run routes and, you know, beat man coverage. He's got to be able to run the jet sweep. He's got to be able to block the front side linebacker. He's got to be able to block DNs. Can't be afraid of contact. So, I coach all three of those guys. All three of those guys are different, but they all kind of work together in the scheme of the offense. You know, they got a big – I think they got a pretty big impact along with, you know, every other position in our offense. But, you know, in the success running the ball and passing the ball, in the big scheme of things.
Coach, we'll get into a little bit more of the specifics of how you coach all those different guys. Talk to us a little bit more about your offense, and I think it's pretty unique to see it, certainly at the college level, someone running the wing T. But even at the high school level, you see that it's kind of been replaced by, you know, the spread systems, air raid, those types of things, and even wing T has become a little bit more kind of a hybrid thing. You see RPO added in, you see the spread elements added into that, and I know you guys are doing some of that as well, but let our listeners know a little bit about the offense you guys run.
Yeah, well, you know, I got its foundation from Dr. Danny Cronick, who started this program 5 years now. And he was notorious in high school, in Georgia high school football, for running the wing tee. You know, he's kind of an innovator of the wing tee in high school football. And then his son, Drew Cronick, who was the head coach here the last 2 years, you know, they kind of started this offense together when they got here 5 years ago. And it started with his roots in the wing tee, you know, with the belly, you know, the dive with the buck, and a little bit of jet sweep off of that, you know, and then it passed a little bit of passing stuff out of it, but it was mostly under center. And then Drew Cronick, when he took over calling the plays, he got in the gun a little bit more. He kind of modernized it a little bit more, but I think it took off so much in the beginning because it was so unorthodox as to what everybody was seeing. You know, everybody's kind of gotten to that, you know, spread RPO, you know, inside zone, outside zone type deal. And this is coming right in your face, smash mouth football. And he mixed some tempo with it. We were going fast. We're fortunate enough to get some good Georgia high school players that could help us quick. We got some fast A-backs, Z-backs that could run the jet. We had some good downhill runners at B-back. You know, we were able to get some tight ends that could help us. The main thing, in my opinion, that's been good for us is we've had a great strength program. You know, we have a big weight room here, and we've been able to get those guys and work them out and get them big, fast, strong, quick. I think that's why they had pretty good success as early as they did, running that different type of unorthodox offense with the wing tee that not a lot of people are used to seeing. Not a lot of people like playing against. They don't like getting cut. They don't like, you know, playing at a high tempo. Drew Cronick and Dr. Danny Cronick did a great job really, really, you know, early on getting the base principles in. So I think that's kind of where it started, and it's kind of taken off from there as to put some wrinkles now where we're running power read, we're in the gun as almost as much as we're under center, throwing it a lot more. So, you know, it's kind of taken off from there, but that's how I got to start was Dr. Danny Cronick, you know, with that wing tee from the beginning when he was in high school.
And obviously having great players makes any kind of system work well. My old high school freshman coach used to say, give me players, not plays. And, you know, there's obviously that aspect to it. And you guys are working to develop your guys, like you mentioned, off the field. But set that aside, what are the advantages in today's game of running a wing tee offense?
For us, we like to, you know, our guys really embrace it on offense. You know, they really embrace the wing tee, the smash mouth, the I'm going to cut you, you know, I'm going to finish every play, you know, until the echo of the whistle. But what we've been able to do is we've been able to get some offensive linemen that are an inch too short. You know, we got some really athletic guards that really get on the edge, and they're going to strike you in the mouth. And we've had some tackles that are big and strong that are able to gap down. So, you know, that's kind of the advantage that we feel like we're a lot. We can get on the edge. We're fast. You know, we're quick. And not a lot of people like to play tempo teams that like to get on the edge and cut you and that are going to come every snap and play you. And we've been able, like I said, Coach Darenthal has done a great job of getting our guys in shape so that the third and fourth quarter, we're just picking up steam and we're not really slowing down as much. So, and we're able to play at a high tempo because we are kind of in shape and we've been working out. And we had a good buy-in last summer of our guys really staying on campus and helping and getting bigger, faster, stronger, and coming into camp in shape so that you don't have to get them in shape, already in shape. So we kind of taken off from there.
Coach, you know, inside zone, outside zone is the core of what a lot of offenses run. You guys are certainly a little bit different that way, and it's not a surprise to see a wing T team with the kind of rushing output that you guys have. What makes up the core concepts of your offense?
Yeah, well, our baby play, our bread and butter is the belly play. You know, we'll run disco. You look at our huddle call sheet, you're going to see a lot of belly. You're going to see a lot of jet. We're going to run jet from the gun. We're going to run jet from under center. You know, we're going to do that with a little bit of tempo mixed in it. I think really what we did good last year was that we ran power. We ran power from the gun and under center. That's really been a huge play for us, you know, and then we've been able to throw some quick game out of that, you know, and we've gotten the gun and throw some quick game. We'll get some one-on-one matchups outside. We'll get some corners playing at some cushion, you know, giving our X receiver some cushion. So we'll take what the defense is going to give us out there. And then we've really, in the spring, I think we've gotten really good at the truck play, running the truck play, the pin and pull. You know, we've run it, handing the ball to our B-back out of the gun, and then we've also ran it with the quarterback. You know, we ran that. That's kind of our bread and butter, what it's been. Also, you know, throw that in, we've been able to run the power read pretty good. We've seen some pretty athletic DNs, so, you know, it's a lot easier to read them than it is to block them sometimes. So, you know, we ran the power read, reading them, and our quarterback's been athletic enough to get it done kind of in that aspect with the power read stuff.
Coach, how do you go from the traditional wing tee type of calls that you've had? We were talking before. I know you mentioned a call to me like wing right. I know you had a motion in there, and it was 16 disco. So you have this little bit of a lengthy call. How do you turn that into something that gets communicated quickly to be able to run at that tempo that you mentioned, that you guys are, you know, snapping the ball with maybe 32 seconds left on the clock?
Right. Well, we've been able to go to, you know, we have two signalers on the sideline. We got a formation guy and a motion guy, and then we got a play guy. So, you know, the formation guy will give the formation, you know, and then he'll give the motion, and then our play guy is going to give whatever the play call is and the direction in which it's going. But, you know, we've been also got to the point where we can give kind of a single signal. You know, our formation guy and our play guy are giving the same signal. So our offensive line already knows what the formation is, and then they see the play from the play guy, and they already know it's a single, you know, whether he's touching his chest, whether he's touching his hand, you know, and they know what it is right now, and it's already kind of preloaded. We got a menu that we use, and we go off that, and we got a couple plays that are bread and butters that we like to run fast, and they already know, and we're on the football, and we're ready to go. You know, another thing that we've been able to do is we've had limited personnel groups. So we're not going to sub in and out personnel groups. We've been able to do what we want to do out of the same personnel. And I think that's pretty big. And you're not giving the defense any keys, and you're kind of keeping the same personnel group, whether you're moving the tight end to the backfield, whether you're splitting them out wide, whether he's the number two wide receiver, whether he's attached. And you're not taking that guy off the field and putting in an extra wide receiver. I think that's pretty big. So that's why we can kind of move fast. And we do, you know, we will sub a lot of guys in, and we'll play three to four guys at each position. I played three Z-back last year, and I'll rotate them in every two snaps or three snaps, you know, whatever the situation was. But, we know, we like to keep the same personnel group in so that we can go ahead and get on the football. And when they know it's time to go tempo and they know that the play call's already in, there's no subs coming in, we're rolling. And we're trying to get on the ball as fast as possible and run that play.
Coach, you mentioned playing 3 to 4 guys at each position. And number one, you know, what's your method in practice for making sure those guys get the reps they need? Obviously, those are a lot of guys to get ready, 3 or 4 at a position, and make sure that, you know, they get the practice time they need. So how are you getting those guys ready? And I guess the second part of that question is, how do guys take splitting up that time that way?
Right. Well, you know, the tight end position I had last year, I had a light, maybe 205, 210-pound tight end that started for me that could play. I mean, he's a coach's son. You know, he just got it. He understood how to play. But obviously, with what we're asking him to do and how we're asking him to come off the ball and buy defensive ends, he couldn't practice a lot as we wanted him to. You know, we kind of had to save him, kind of let him recover a little bit from the game. That was when it was a great opportunity for our young guys to really get those reps. So, you know, that's when I used the opportunity where I'm going to rest him a little bit. You know, he's so repped and he understands what we're doing. Let me get some of these freshmen going. Let me get, you know, my second guy. Let him get a lot of reps in practice. You know, I got my starter that's resting, that's recovering from the game. He's helping those guys. He's getting mental reps, and he's kind of coaching on the sideline while I'm trying to coach, you know, the Zs and the tight ends and then the Xs as well. But I think that was huge. You know, we played 14 games last season. So obviously with the style of play that we have, we're going to have to try to sustain that throughout 14 weeks, 15 weeks of play if you count extra week, if we got an open week that you know. So that's another thing we got to understand, that we got to rest our guys a little bit and try to get them through each game. But whenever you got to rest a guy, you got to make sure that you're getting those young guys and getting guys reps, as many reps as you can during the team situations, during pass skelly, during inside. I was lucky enough to have that. I had an older guy that was my starter for me that understood it, that got it, that wasn't a high rep guy. He could help, you know, kind of coach on the sideline as well.
Coach, going back to the way that your position is organized and coaching those different skill sets, coaching basically three different positions within your group, how do you handle that? How do you manage making sure that those guys work the different skills they need?
Yeah, well, I got a coach, Tom Tarquinio, is an assistant for us. He actually works for Delta, and he flies planes for a living, but he'll come here. He'll help as much as he can, but when he's here, you know, he really does a great job of taking those. You know, if I need him to take the split ends that day, and I'll take the tight ends and the Zs, and we'll work our run fits together for an individual time. If I really need to work with the split ends that day, he'll work with me and take the tight ends and the Zs or whatever I need that day, and he kind of helps me wherever I need it. And that's huge. So I'm not dealing with all those guys when we do individual by myself, which is big. But I like to, like, you know, earlier, the tight ends and the Zs and the Xs, they have similar skill sets. When we're running routes, it's kind of, I'm kind of teaching them all the same type deals. You know, the Z and the tight ends are always in three-point stances when they're attached when in our wing set. So I'm teaching them kind of the same release steps. I'm teaching them, you know, how to work the leverage. And it's all kind of the same. It all kind of runs together. So I'm able to cover some ground with those guys. But I also need Coach Tom Carquini. I couldn't do it without him. He's a great man. He really helps me out a lot, you know, individual, getting the fundamentals taught. And he's a huge help with that.
Coach, the one thing I like to talk to all of our guests about is, you know, how they build culture. I think everybody has to own a piece of that culture, you know, do something, you know, obviously in line with what the head coach wants, but do something to build that culture within their unit and within the team. What kinds of things do you do to build the culture in your program?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I really preach every day. I teach finish. I teach them to finish everything that they do, whether it's in practice, whether it's watching film, just finishing and locking in to whatever you're doing. And I think in practice, I really, really harp on my guys to finish the reps. And you catch the football, give me a 10-yard burst afterwards, you know, whether it's routes on air, whether it's an individual period, because I believe all that stuff translates to the game. And there's no such thing to me as a practice rep. It's all game reps, because when you practice as if you're playing in the game becomes practice. So that's why in practice, I always rep finish your block. You know, finish through the whistle and everything that you do. And I do it from the beginning when we're an individual, and I try to harp on that throughout the team period. And I don't care if you're an ex wide receiver and you're over there on the opposite side of the field, you know, and the run play is going away from you. I want you to finish your play and finish your man, because you never know when that play is going to bounce back and it's going to be right behind your butt and you're going to have that touchdown block. So I try to build my culture around finishing things, you know, finish everything that you do. That's the main thing, you know, and I try to preach as well as sacrifice is huge, you know, for me in my room, and that you got to sacrifice to get things for your team. You got to sacrifice your time off the field. You got to sacrifice whatever it is to make sure that you're putting everything you got into this basket. All your eggs are in this basket, and that you can get out of it what you want and that your team can succeed as well. So I kind of preach finishing everything you do and then sacrifice something to get something for somebody else.
Obviously, you guys have a great system. We've mentioned that you have some really good players, but teaching is critical. And, you know, technology has become a big part of that. How do you blend technology that you have available with some of the best teaching methods that you use to integrate, you know, make sure that your systems are running well when it comes to game day?
We use Huddle. You know, Huddle's just blown up, you know, with the high schools. And so everybody kind of uses Huddle now, it seems like, for the most part. But we use Huddle, and we'll put our installs on Huddle. So, you know, you can look at it when you're at home. You know, the kids can look at it while they're in their dorm room. They can watch the film on their phones when they're at the cafeteria eating dinner. I'll put notes on there for them to look at as well. Anytime we put a new play in or whatever it may be, we try to update the Huddle playbook so that they can look at that. And you can say, hey, you need to shoot out a text and say, hey, look at this playbook. You know, we added three new plays. Go ahead and look at them right now before you come to meeting so you kind of get an idea of what's going on. So I think that's been huge, and you can, you know, especially in the college scene, you can use it and you can look at it on your phone. As much as the kids are on the phone nowadays, they can look at Huddle while they're eating dinner, and it's pretty instantaneous. After we got to practice field, we'll put the film up, and those guys can kind of look at it as quick as possible. So Huddle's been great for us. So I really think that we've been able to use it decently and really kind of maximize it.
Coach, with all your installs being, you know, on your phones, on Huddle, those guys being able to see it outside of meeting room, classroom, you know, what does the focus become then for your meeting room time?
Well, our meeting room time is now up on the board, and I'll get my guys up on the board, and I'll let them draw. I mean, you know, I'll ask them a question. I'll get all three position groups up there. I'll get a tight end up there. I'll get a Z up there. I'll get an X up there. You know, when we first put it in, I'll try to touch on it as much as possible. And then, you know, the next day, I'll try, if we have time, you know, after reviewing the practice film, I'll get, you know, all three guys up there. And I'll ask them the question. I'll try to get them to draw as much as they know as possible of that new play. Try to draw every position group. Tell me what the offensive line is doing. If you're a tight end, you need to know what the offensive line is doing. You need to know what that tackle is doing, if he's gapping down or what he's doing. You know, you need to know that. The split ends are the ones that get the most pissed off because I try to make them draw, you know, the run plays and how the run blocking scheme is and how they fit and if it's going to hit behind you, if it's a jet coming right behind you, whatever it may be. But I think it's big too. I try to, as much as possible, get them on the board and try to quiz them and see, make it a little bit of a competition deal. So what position group knows the most about this play, and then give them a point, you know, whoever drew it the best, and then see who has the most points at the end of the position meeting.
Coach, let's change pace a little bit and put the focus on you and think back to the beginning of your start as a coach. What's a mistake you made as a young coach, and what did you learn from it?
Ooh, a mistake that I made as a young coach. Probably intense, you know, being a little over. You know, I think anytime you start as a young coach and you're fresh out of playing, I think there's always a transition period as to where you need to learn to be a professional and to mature. There's a maturation process that goes on right there. I think that everybody kind of deals with that one. And understanding that you're not a player anymore. You're a coach. You got to be the one that's kind of the cool-headed one. And I think this is going on my sixth or seventh year of coaching. I think that when I first started, that was a tough one for me to get over. And understanding that I'm not a player anymore. I'm a coach. I need to be the teacher. I need to be the one that's the calm head. You know, I think that I've kind of grown into understanding now and seeing the bigger picture of things. I think everybody struggles with it. When you first get into coaching out of playing, you know, hyped up and you're intense and you want to be intense. And you got to know the switch to turn that off and be able to think and be the calm, cool, collected one.
Coach, what's the best coaching advice you've received in your career to this point?
Well, when I first got in there, Mike Rader, who was my college head coach, he's at East Tennessee State now, he told me that if you cannot recruit in this business, you will not make it. Like, you have got to be able to recruit. If you can't do anything in this college football business, you better be able to recruit. And that's always stuck with me. You know, all this scheme stuff, all these plays, all as good as it looks on the board, like you said earlier, you got to have the Jimmys and the Joes that can do it. And they can do it and they can execute it as fast as you want it to be. So he taught, you know, and that's always stuck with me when I first got in there, is that you better be able to recruit or else you're going to have a short career in this business.
I think that probably holds true at the high school level as well, because, you know, within your school, there's lots of things for those guys to do, some good, some bad. So what are the keys to being a good recruiter?
You know, to be a good recruiter, I believe that you got to be kind of in tune with the kids nowadays. I think you got to be on Twitter. You got to be on social media. I think you got to kind of get where the kids are coming from and be able to relate to them a little bit. You know, I'm kind of a younger guy, so, you know, I kind of get them to a certain extent as to what they're looking for. And how they want to be treated. But I think that's huge, is you got to be able to kind of relate to them. I think you got to have a good relationship with their high school coaches. I think you got to get into those schools, and you got to go meet those guys that you don't know, those head coaches that you don't know. And then the ones that you do know, you got to come in on a consistent basis and show your face and shake their hands and introduce yourself to the kids and get to and talk to them for a little bit. And I think that that's huge. I think that you got to be able to talk to those kids and to those coaches and be able to relate to them. For us at Reinhardt, we're blessed to be located in a pretty good football area in the Southeast, and you know, Georgia especially, there's some really good Georgia high school football, and there's some good coaches in this area. So we've been blessed in that aspect to get some good guys right in our backyard. But at Reinhardt, we hit Georgia really hard. We try to hit every county in Georgia and try to show our face and shake hands and develop relationships. And we try to sustain those relationships throughout the whole season, you know, and going and seeing those guys on Friday night play, and then getting them up to our one day camps in the summer, and then going and seeing them. We just got done in the spring. You know, we went on the road and saw some coaches in Georgia, you know, and then we're going to go back out maybe next week. And then we're going to go back out in the fall. And then we're going to go back out in the spring. So I think that that's huge. You got to go out and you got to see these kids and you got to relate to them and you got to be able to keep up the relationship with them, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on, you know, text message, whatever it may be. You got to be able to relate to these kids and talk to them and maintain that relationship.
Coach, really, that doesn't end once you get them into your program either. What kind of things do you do once you have those guys there to keep developing that relationship?
Right. That's true. You almost got to recruit them more when they're here, you know, than you do in high school. You know, I think for me, the biggest thing is trust. You know, I gotta build trust within my position group. And I like to talk to the whole team. I like to try to build a relationship with every person on the football team. I think that's important. I think that the coaches got to do that. You know, I think that I got to be able to talk to some linebackers. I got to be able to know linebackers' names. Within my position group, I want to know how everybody's home situation is. What's your mom's job? What's your dad's job? How are things going at home? Because, you know, the kids got to know that you care for them, and I do, and I really do care for these kids, and I want to be there for them, and I want to build that trust. And to me, it's not all about football. You know, I tell my kids when they come in my meeting room, I don't want it all to be about football. I don't want to talk about football all the time. You know, I want to talk about spiritual life. I want to do some Bible verses, talk about Jesus Christ a little bit. You know, I want to talk about an inspirational quote. What's somebody got something they're going through they want to share with the room. See if anything sparks and takes off, and talk about, you know, some things that are going on in these kids' lives. I think that's huge. That's something that, you know, I want to do. And I told myself I would do that when I got into coaching. I didn't want to make it all about football, because I think that there's so much more that you can gain from the game of football than just X's and O's and scoring touchdowns and catching footballs. You can gain so much that you can take with you in life. And that's really one of the main reasons that I got into coaching. I told myself when I first got in, don't ever change that. Make sure that's a staple for you and a staple for what you do and why you do it, is that you want to make sure you have a big impact on these kids' life, and that they trust you and that you trust them and that you have a good relationship with them after they graduate. We just had graduation this morning. We had 22 kids graduate, and I had, I think, five or six that I had coached that, you know, I shook their hand. It's a proud moment for them. You know, they got their family here, and that's big. You got to be there for them, and you got to maintain that relationship with them after they graduate, I think. So,
Coach, I know you got a young family, and obviously this game demands a lot of our attention. Our players demand a lot of our attention. So how do you balance, you know, what you got to give the program and in the profession with what you need to give your family?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one. When I get home, I've tried to promise myself that I'm going to put my phone up for an hour, turn it off. I'm going to turn, you know, when I get home, whatever time that may be, you know, however long I get held up in the office, when I get home, I'm going to turn my phone off for an hour so that I can really dedicate and spend that time with my wife and my three-year-old son, Jackson. And then, you know, I got another baby boy on the way. For me, the biggest deterrent is the phone, because you get a text message, you go look at it, you know, and then that text message may lead to three or the four other text messages. And then by the time you answer that fourth one, the first one's texting you back. So then you're looking at maybe like 20, 30 minutes taken away from, you know, the time that you spent with your three-year-old boy who's been waiting for you to get home. So that's what I'm trying to do. And it's hard to, especially when you're busy and, you know, fall camp hits, you know, and spring recruiting hits and the fall recruiting is, you know, it's a year-round deal. But I think that's important. And that's what I've tried to do, is just turn my phone off for an hour. And really just sit there and just be with my family and show them the attention that they deserve. And then after that hour's up, go ahead and check your messages, handle whatever you need to do. But I think that that's huge for me. I've really seen some improvement with that.
Coach, we're going to jump into our two-minute drill and go up-tempo here, something you like to do. So just some real quick question and answers. Schematically, what's the toughest defense to face?
Toughest defense, a 3-3 stack. 3-3 stack's tough. You always draw up something against a 3-3 stack and see if it'll work, in my opinion, because you can draw it up against a four-man front, but draw it up against a 3-3 stack and see if it truly works.
What's your favorite goal line play?
We call it 16 kick. Just come off the ball, kick the end, and hit it as fast as possible downhill.
Turf or grass?
Turf.
What's your favorite backfield set?
I like split back out of the gun.
Day game or night game?
I'd say day because I like it really, really hot.
If you had to run your offense from one formation, what would it be?
Wing right.
Should the kickoff be eliminated?
No, absolutely not.
If you could pick one football coach from the past to learn from, who would it be?
Bear Bryant.
How about one from the present?
Bill Belichick.
Coach, good job on the two-minute drill here. Here's the final question. You guys had a lot of success this past season, a lot of success really in your program since it began. What's the one thing you'd point to as giving your team the winning edge?
I think definitely our strength conditioning program. I think Coach Darenthal does a really good job in there. For us, we got our own strength coach, which is huge, I think. For me, I'm always in the weight room. I love the weight room, and I love to get in there. When they're lifting, I love to get in their face. I love to encourage them. And we got a lot of coaches on the staff. Our head coach, James Miller, he's huge into that. He loves to get in the weight room with those kids and encourage them. We try to get as many coaches in there when they're lifting, and we make that as big a deal as possible. And then we get on the field and we'll run them and we'll condition and we'll do agilities. And I think that's huge. You got to have that to be successful in it. Because any offensive scheme, any defensive scheme, it all goes out the window if your guys are tired, your guys aren't big, fast, strong. So I think that that's huge. And that's been a staple for us, in my opinion. I think that that's something that, that Coach Darenthal does a really good job with.
Coach, how can our listeners connect with you?
They can connect with me on Twitter, Coach Foster RU. And make sure, you know, I got to promote our one-day camps. June 1st, we got a camp on campus. June 1st, we got a one-day camp, rising 9th through 12th graders. It's going to be $30. It's going to be instructional. And all that information is going to be on my Twitter page. Coach Foster, RU.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck to you and the Reinhardt Eagles as you get into the 2017 season.
Thanks, Keith. I really appreciate this, man. Thank you.
Three key takeaways from this episode. Number one, I was really impressed that Reinhardt University has had so much success using what a lot of people would think is an antiquated system in the wing T. They found a way to modernize it, use a spread offensive attack as well as tempo, and still be a very run-heavy team.
It took off so much in the beginning because it was so unorthodox as to what everybody was seeing. You know, everybody's kind of gotten to that, you know, spread RPO, you know, inside zone, outside zone type deal. And this was, I mean, this is coming right in your face, smash mouth football.
Number two, relationships and trust are a big part of what Coach preaches, and he talked about that in the recruiting process, but even more as you get your players into your system.
I think you got to have a good relationship with their high school coaches. I think you got to get into those schools, and you got to go meet those guys that you don't know, those head coaches that you don't know, and then the ones that you do know. You got to come in on a consistent basis and show your face and shake their hands and introduce yourself to the kids and talk to them for a little bit. And I think that that's huge. I think that you got to be able to talk to those kids and to those coaches and be able to relate to them. You got to be able to keep up the relationship with them, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on, you know, text message, whatever it may be. You got to be able to relate to these kids and talk to them and maintain that relationship.
And number three, he made the point of turn it off. When you get home and you're with your family, turn it off, be with them, focus on them. I think that's such an important thing in our profession and in our personal lives.
I think that's important, and that's what I've tried to do is just turn my phone off for an hour and really just sit there and just be with my family and show them the attention that they deserve. And then after that hour's up, go ahead and check your messages, handle whatever you need to do. But I think that that's huge for me. I've really seen some improvement with that.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.